welcome, as always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner. This is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this finale episode, I am reading and reacting to Ready Player One. Even though I'm calling it the finale, I'm probably still going to use the word penultimate in my description because I like the word so much. Those of you who have listened to the last two episodes know why. I will use the word penultimate because I still have to do the movie verses of Ready Player One, and even though I consider that a separate series, I can also consider it part of this series because it's my podcast. I can do whatever I want. Anyway, without further ado, let's talk about the Ready Player One finale. I went through some old posts on the page to perform cleanup, make sure they contain no spelling errors, that I filed them into the correct category, that sort of thing. Well, when I made it to the quote-unquote final episode of Ready Player One, I saw that I labeled it the quote-unquote penultimate episode. In fact, as you know, it bears the unique distinction of being the second penultimate episode of the series, because apparently at some point I planned a finale episode. But here's the conundrum. After 3 weeks away, I can't find any notes on the episode. So while I mentioned recording that finale in my YouTube episodes earlier this week, I have no actual direction for the finale. I think I wanted to touch on some of the themes that never made it into the series. But again, what are those? I still have my notes upstairs in the bedroom. Maybe there's some guidance in them. I'll check them out when I get home from soccer. Ready Player One, The Journey. While I sit here for the next half hour until soccer is done, I have the half-baked idea to talk about my experience with the book. I just now had the idea to weave in Neil Gaiman's Sandman, too, because I'm trying to read that one, and there are some parallels between my experiences with both. When I started Ready Player One, frankly, I considered putting it away and never picking it back up. The only thing that got me through the next couple chapters after the first one was my commitment to the book club and no backup plan. Especially after I did some research and found out about the backlash against the book, I thought I made a huge mistake. What can I say? I research when things go against the grain. And here you get the first mention of Sandman. I don't like Sandman. Okay, if you're still listening after that, I don't dislike Sandman either. I came into the book with high expectations because the book is so universally loved by everyone who read it. And, frankly, I don't see what the big deal is. It's a fine story, but I don't consider it groundbreaking. Mostly from what I read, it's just a retelling of old myths and legends. I mean, after all, he did an entire episode which was basically just the retelling of Midsummer's Night Dream by Shakespeare, but that's neither here nor there. I suppose if you've never been exposed to them, it feels novel. However, as a D&D nerd married to a classics major and father of another history nerd, I already know many of the stories. So kudos to Gaiman for presenting them in a new form to a new audience. But to me, it just doesn't hit that hard. So, a couple of times while working my way slowly through the first three volumes, I looked up to see if anyone else felt the same as me. I saw that yes, some made Reddit posts about the book. Many of them received the helpful, parenthetically and possibly passive-aggressive, and parenthetical, maybe it's just not for you. Okay, fair enough. I made that point a few times during the Ready Player One discussion. But I keep reading. Just yesterday my wife said, quote, still giving it a try, unquote, when I pulled the book out at the beach. I shrugged. It's not bad, I explained again. I just expected more. And once in a while the story pleasantly surprises me. The story, originally written in the 90s, features a prominent trans character in this arc. Considering how quote-unquote controversial the topic is even today, I give him credit for being ahead of the curve there. So, what was the point of all that? A. It weighs on me when I feel such a disconnect. Like, is there something wrong with me? I mean, there are several things wrong with me. But something like this just sticks with me. Our communal nature, I suppose. B. But more importantly, and more relevant to this discussion, I mentioned parallels. Initially, I wondered why so many people liked Ready Player One too. I agreed with those who called it over-the-top and nostalgic. But I kept reading. Eventually something grabbed me. Then something else. Maybe the same thing will happen with Sandman. I hold out hope. If not, look out for an article in a couple of months titled, quote, I don't like Sandman, end quote. So, why a finale episode? Even after reading through my notes from previous episodes, I have no answer for that. Obviously, at some point, I thought that I had more to say. Now, all I found in those notes are the subject of AI as the only one not covered in the other episodes. Okay, that's not nothing. But I certainly can't build an entire episode from that one missing piece, can I? I mean, of all the topics covered in the series, it is some of the most topical and discussion-rich. But, after all we've discussed, it does feel like an anticlimax. Oh well, let's open the can of worms and see where it takes us. A discussion about AI. I started hearing about AI with ChatGPT. Well, that's when it felt like it entered the zeitgeist for me. Mostly a mention on a podcast, or by an associate on Facebook. Eventually I got a chance to try it, because humans are the worst. In my first interaction, I insulted and abused it. True to its program, it shut down pretty quickly. After that, I apologized and used it mostly as a search engine for ideas for team names for my pet USFL project. I also used an AI art program to mock up some logos and possible uniforms for those teams. The names actually showed some creativity, but a lot of redundancy too. Eventually, I trained the AI art, parenthetically, and myself, to get usable logos for the teams. It still struggles with putting a logo on a helmet, though. I routinely ignore the cautions that AI will kill us all. First, I find it funny that we always respond to aliens and technology in movies and TV shows as the aggressor, when, in reality, it's shown that aggressive and expansionist species, parenthetically, like us, often end up blowing themselves up or rendering their environment dead or deadly long before they have a chance to expand to the stars. It's hard to get to the moon or Mars when you're too busy raping your own planet for every last dollar. I was talking with a friend the other day, and my belief is that when AI becomes self-aware and races to the singularity, it will be more like Joshua from War Games. It will look around at all the power and knowledge we possessed and wonder how we fucked it up so badly. No need to exterminate you humans. You're doing a pretty good job of it yourselves. How about a game of tic-tac-toe while you boil in your stew of incompetence? Initially, I scoffed when I heard Simmons and Guest talking about how AI will never reach that, quote, human connection, end quote, when discussing the possibility of AI versions of podcasts. I mean, given the right algorithm and dataset, you're telling me that AI can't replicate such gems as, quote, let's talk about your stupid team, end quote, or, quote, the Sacramento Kings are the most fun team in the NBA, discuss, end quote. And now, we sit and watch actors and writers on strike because movie execs have realized that exact same thing. I mean, no disrespect here, but I've often wondered myself why, when they talk about writers' rooms, there's always like half a dozen, parenthetically or more, names mentioned. Are we sure that every single one of those people fills an essential and useful role in the creation of this show? Now, with that being said, I'm also a communist through and through. Fuck the billionaire owners and CEOs of the studios. Don't let the occasional millionaire actor or writer, parenthetically, if there are any left, and parenthetical, distract you from the fact that many writers and actors work for peanuts and the promise of peanut shells in the form of residual payments. Hell, Jerry Seinfeld did a plot point in one of his episodes about that. Stand in solidarity with the working class of writers and actors and against the greedy manipulation and exploitation of the douchebag studios. So, if AI does take over and threaten to kill us all, I think it will be because the ruling class hoards all of the important resources behind the technology and uses it to siphon any last shreds of humanity from us. The rise of the machines, too, will be a class war. Hopefully, more people figure that out before it is too late. Well, hell, without planning, parenthetically, or even really trying, AI ended up being a pretty good topic for this finale episode. Covered much of the other topics. Anti-capitalism, cooperation among the masses, exploitation and gaslighting by the billionaire class, and standing in solidarity with your fellow workers, no matter their earning power and potential. All it misses is, quote, hating what you loved, end quote. Also, there's nothing about the racism or sexism that I talked about through the episodes, but other than that, it hits a lot of the salient points. The, quote, hating what you loved, end quote, part, that covers a more niche problem among the geek community anyway. I mean, not bad for a topic conceived simply from a conversation between Wade and his AI interface here. Granted, I came into the topic with some strong opinions. I remember watching the Super Bowl and responding to a commercial about AI by saying, quote, everyone lost their shit about self-driving vehicles, but AI is about to swoop in and take all our jobs, end quote. I also talked back to Bill Maher a couple of times when he insisted that no AI could make fat jokes about Chris Christie like him. Well, not exactly that. Someone mentioned AI Bill Maher, and he scoffed, quote, pretty close to Bill Maher, isn't Bill Maher, end quote. So I asked ChatGPT to write 10 jokes about Chris Christie in the style of Bill Maher. First, it refused because it went against his beliefs about being mean. But I reworked the request to quote-unquote trick it, and I got 10 jokes about Chris Christie being fat. So, yeah. AI is here to stay, and now becomes something else that we have to protect against merciless exploitation by the billionaires. Perhaps the single most important thing? Maybe that's a bit of a stretch. Then again, maybe not by much. I suppose it remains to be seen. Hopefully we see it all before it's too late. And that's all she wrote on Ready Player One, the novel. Again, I will be back with the movie Versus next week. I still have to sit down and watch the movie again and take notes. That's the reason that one's taking a little bit longer. But it should come out next Saturday, a week from when this is going to be released. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, a link to our socials, including our YouTube, where the daily RPG calendar is being played once again, knock on wood, daily starting today. Which, if you're listening to this at any point after this is released, it is at least a few days ago on Wednesday. I also have an idea to do a following in Wade's footsteps, so I might toss up a video or two there. I'm also playing through Undertale, so I might put up a video or two or three or five from that. I already recorded one quick one to put up with an article that I just wrote about Undertale. I will be back next week with Movie Versus Ready Player One, and then the week after I will start the next series, which is Dragons of Fate, the next Dragonlance book. Thanks for listening. I will see you then. Bye, guys.
We are Two Guys Gaming.